This is Pentecost Sunday, so we celebrate the birthday of the church and how God moves in mysterious ways as wonders to perform. Listen for a word from God for you. Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind and appeared among them. A tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some 10 years ago, or actually 30 years ago, at Memorial Drive Presbyterian Church, I was at seminary and I saw a very similar thing done with the banner symbolizing the Spirit, and I thought that was pretty cool, and I put it in the back of my head. And then we saw some cool stuff like that at Montreat, and we thought, we should do that. And so about as wild as Presbyterians get, I went out in the middle of a field with a saw looking and hoping nobody would catch me and cut down two sticks of bamboo. That's about as wild as a Presbyterian's going to get. This is a wild passage. Some 3 decades ago, Carrie and I were living in Georgetown, South Carolina, and I had the Sunday off where I was working at Georgetown Presbyterian Church as Director of Youth and Family Ministries, and we went up to Myrtle Beach, and by the Air Force Base that was there then was a church that had used to be a strip club. And so we thought, that's a pretty cool place to have a church. We got the Sunday, let's go up there. And they were preaching on this passage, though it wasn't Pentecost. So apparently in this very Pentecostal church, they preached on this passage every week. There was a neon number on the side, and then we realized that people were going down during the service and praying with people, and the number would change. So that was the number of people who'd gotten saved during the middle of the service. Me, I kept wondering what that number meant during the strip club years, but that was a different story altogether. Sorry, I just... So while we were sitting there at the end of the sermon on Acts chapter 2, the guy says, "If you want to come down and learn to speak in tongues, I'll put my hands on you and you can learn to speak in tongues." Me, I thought it was a pretty good idea. Carrie grabbed hold of me like we were in the middle of a Friday the 13th movie and said, "You're not going anywhere." So we don't know if it would have taken or not. It is interesting, the idea that you could, just make that happen like that. And that makes us nervous. We like to schedule God on a Sunday, depending on what our schedule is, between 10 and 12 o'clock. 11 was the sacred hour because that's when people used to milk cows and need to get to church and then get back home for evening milking. But we sort of moved away from that, being the wild and crazy bunch that we are, and we worship at 10. And we don't have cows. So, Pentecost. That's some pretty wild stuff. God shows up in the middle of a festival. It wasn't supposed to be Pentecost. Pentecost meant something else. It's just God showed up in such a way. Now, Pentecost got changed to meaning the activity of God, and this is where the church starts, when God wants it to, how God wants it to, and in a way that reaches across the boundaries. Instead of having everybody come in and learn their language, they were speaking everybody else's language. Instead of having everybody coming in and getting confirmed and affirmed, and they were going out and making connections. It used to be missionaries went and first thing you taught them was English. And then you taught them how to be an American or a British.
Peace Corps with Kayla. She went and learned the language. It's a very strange thing to go with your child and watch her chew out a cabbie because he's charging her five times a given rate, and she actually frightened me a little bit. Still does. So we look for comfort, but what we get is a culvert. And this is from a fellow named Baxter Black, true story. They were staying at a ranch and had a pretty good pile of dirty clothes. And so he and his buddy, they loaded in the pickup and they weighed it down with a toolbox and they took off for town. Well, they were driving down the road and then he had reached down in order to get his hat that had blown around. He reached down to get his hat, and when he did, the road turned and he didn't. And then he went, and he thought he was okay, and he thought he had control of it until he hit a culvert. And the front end stopped, but the back end kept going. All that laundry went flying, he went flying, a little blood on his head and his buddy, and he gets out of the truck, and they're starting to walk away a little dazed, and that's when the bullet goes by. And what he realized was that under his seat was a box of shells, and that his truck was now on fire. And there was the laundry on fire, and bullets were flying everywhere, and they dove into the ditch and waited it out. And then some folks he could tell were out of towners drove by and said, "Yep, there's a couple of real cowboys right there." Instead of God of our comfort, a lot of times it's God of our culvert. The disciples were all together. They thought they had a handle on this church thing or whatever we were going to call church. They thought they had a handle, especially now that Jesus was gone and up in his heaven and doing all of this, when lo and behold, the Spirit shows up. And it's chaos everywhere. Mike Iaconelli, who's one of my favorite guys, said this: predictability has nothing to do with faith. Predictability and faith cannot coexist. As soon as we limit God to some formula, well, then we've moved away from faith. Because faith is when the formulas don't work. Faith is when what you think you have figured out is no longer there. And welcome to life as we know it. If you've lived as long as most of us have, whatever you thought was the formula for life, chances are it crashed like that pickup truck hitting a culvert. And there are bullets flying everywhere, and you're just ducking and trying to hold on. Forget the laundry. You thought getting your laundry done was a big deal. The Bible is that kind of story. It's not people who figure it out. It's people who God shows up and shakes them. And next thing they know, whatever they thought was most important no longer matters. Whatever they thought was the formula for life no longer works. Moses had a pretty good gig going. He had escaped a murder charge in Egypt. Now he's out living for his father-in-law, you know, off the family well-to-do and whatever, taking care of some animals. Then there's a burning bush. And he thought the pyramid was a big deal, but that burning bush turned his world upside down. Next thing you know, he's on the road, but all he's got is a staff, and he's going up to Pharaoh, and God sends him there. Now, mark it. 10 times he has to go, and every time he thinks, well, he's going to kill me today. 10 times. That's right. That's what I'm saying. It shocks her. How come it doesn't shock the rest of them? There's David, out tending sheep. Next thing you know, facing Goliath, king of Israel. Think about Mary, little teenager. Bam. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul was in charge. And then there was a blinding light, and not only could he not see the world, he couldn't see a thing. And God says, "What are you doing messing with me?" Well, Paul went from that point forward to this clear path from A to Damascus, to going out in the rest of the world going, "You surprised me once, you're not going to surprise me again." But it was surprise and surprise and surprise. That's what the Spirit does. And it ain't easy. And I don't use "ain't" lightly. The best image I heard was there was a woman who was out at the beach and she had watched the sea turtles, and she came the next day and she saw them as they were taking a sea turtle and they were dragging it with a pickup truck back to the ocean because it had gotten turned around. It was heading in the wrong direction, and it was going to die out in the dunes, and they hooked it up with chains and dragged it out in the ocean. That's the way Pentecost, it kind of worked. We want to celebrate and pull into our little groups where every group has its own language. And listen, you're Protestants. Every Protestant church is started by protesting something. Catholics, they just kind of go with the flow, give it 100 years, see if anything changes. Protestants get mad and form some other new group. Presbyterians had a civil war, and nobody even cares what type Presbyterian you are anymore. It's so disappointing. Always protesting something. And when you're protesting the wrong thing, you can't get a vision for the right thing. Moses was just mad because it was hot, and lo and behold, he's got to go free a whole bunch of slaves. David thought he just had to take lunch to his brothers. Next thing you know, he's out facing a giant. Mary thought she had wedding plans. But you know what we need today? We need the Spirit, and we need to guide the move in a special way. I'm going to read you a little piece by pastor and author Bob Moorhead. He described the state of affairs in our current culture about 25 years ago, and I think it still holds pretty true. He said, "The paradox of our time in history is that we have taller buildings but shorter tempers, wider freeways but narrower viewpoints. We spend more but have less. We buy more but enjoy less. We have bigger houses, smaller families, more conveniences but less time. We have more degrees but less sense, more knowledge but less judgment, more experts yet more problems, more medicine but less wellness. We drink too much, smoke too much, spend too recklessly, laugh too little, drive too fast, get too angry, stay up too late, get up too tired, read too little, watch TV too much, and pray too seldom. We've multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've learned how to make a living but not a life. We've added years to life but not life to years. We've all been all the way to the moon and back but have trouble crossing the street to meet a new neighbor. We conquered outer space but not inner space. We've done larger things but not better things. We've cleaned up the air but polluted the soul, conquered the atom but not our prejudice. We write more but learn less. We plan more but accomplish less. We've learned to rush but not to wait. We build more computers but hold more information to produce more copies than ever, but we communicate less. These are the times of fast food and slow digestion, big men and small characters, steep profits and shallow relationships. These are the days of two incomes, but more divorce, fancier houses, but broken homes. These are the days of quick trips, disposable diapers, throwaway morality, one-night stands, overweight bodies, and pills that do everything from cheer to quiet to kill. It's time when there's much in the showroom window and nothing in the stockroom. A time when technology can bring these words to you in a time when you can choose either to share this insight or just hit delete. Remember to spend some time with your loved ones because they are not going to be around forever. Remember to say a kind word to someone who looks up to you in awe because that little person soon will grow up and leave your side. Remember to give a warm hug to the one next to you because that's the only treasure you can give with your heart and it doesn't cost a cent. Remember to say, I love you to your partner and your loved ones, but most of all, mean it. A kiss and embrace will mend hurt when it comes from deep inside you. Remember to hold hands. Cherish the moment, for someday that person might not be there. Give time to love. Give time to speak and share the precious thoughts and all you hold dear in your heart and mind. End of the Bible is pretty simple. Revelation chapter 20. Come, Lord Jesus. May that be our prayer. Let us pray. God, we've been scared of everything that moves, and certainly you move. So move in us, O Lord, and move in this community, country, this culture, your world. Help us to be that voice that can be heard in other languages to divide the boundaries that cross us so that we might experience your kingdom now in whatever chaotic ways you come. For we would be your people in this place and in this time. Come, Lord Jesus, as we pray as we were taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.